Today on Real Life Radio.
Why are you here tonight? Why do you pay your bills? Why do you go to work? Why do you study? Why do you read anything? Why do you care about anything? Because you have hope. When people don't have hope, they don't do any of those things.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Evidence for Faith, continues his new series called The Why Series. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, The Why Series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. The most important question is inside of every single one of us. It's as common as life itself. And we set it in motion from the time we get out of bed till the time we end our day. It's called faith. And by nature, every human being is a faith-based individual. Well, what is faith? The Bible tells us not only what it is, but why we can't please God without it. So, on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the evidence for faith is seen in all that we do. We have faith that the sun will rise, right? That the moon and the stars will light up the night sky. It's all natural. But the greatest things that exist are the things that we can't see. We can't see love, right? But when it's expressed, we know that it is real. And now in his message called The Evidence for Faith, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You are the God of all truth. And Lord, we pray that the vast difference of belief perhaps represented here in the audience tonight and those, Lord, beyond, that you would answer their questions, that you would speak to them, that you would reveal yourself to them. And we make no apology for believing in the Creator God of the universe. And so, God, there's a big reason why we believe in you, and we pray that tonight we'd give argument for the truth of that someone might experience what it is to have real, active faith in their lives. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Put your eyes to the screen, if you would. Listen carefully.
Faith means belief in something without evidence. Because if you believe something without evidence, then that justifies anything. You're no longer vulnerable to somebody coming back at you and saying, hang on a minute, let me argue the case. If you believe it without evidence, which is what faith is, then you don't argue the case. You say, no, I'm not arguing that case. This is my faith. It's mine. It's private. I don't dissent from it. I don't retreat from it. You're just going to have to accept it. Now, that is evil.
Well, that's Richard Dawkins, the famous Oxford professor. He's known around the world for being really an atheist who gives his apologia as to not only for his argument that God does not exist, but that faith is foolish, that faith is unreasonable, faith is unfounded. And so each week we're going to be building upon these life issues. And so tonight we take on the why question regarding the evidence for faith. And before you might think tonight, that's it, evidence for faith. I don't have faith. I don't believe in God. I'm leaving now. Don't do that, because believe it or not, even if you're an atheist tonight or you're an agnostic tonight, no matter whatever your flavor is tonight, the fact is that you are a person of faith, even if you think that you are faithless. And so the first verse I want you to look at, and remember from last week, we're going to give you Bible verses, but I am deliberately not asking you to believe in them. Even though we're making our argument from the Bible, we trust and pray that we're going to be making our argument from the Bible and from all that encompasses the Bible, meaning science, logic, and reason. So write this down if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1 answers Richard Dawkins' statement a moment ago that faith is even evil. Faith in God is something that is groupthink for the religious, and that we're so weak and we're so fragile that we need to invent a God that we can go to with all of our problems, that faith is unfounded. Faith is, frankly, in his view, silly. Maybe many of you people encounter co-workers and professors or students that think the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want you to write that down or look at it carefully. This is what the Bible says about faith. Faith is the substance, something that you can grab onto. It seems contradictory, but not at all. Listen, faith is the substance, something you can grab onto of things hoped for. Every one of us have hope for some reason and hope in someone or something. The evidence of things not seen. It's an awesome statement. It means that faith is exercised in such a way that there are things that exist that you can grab onto, and that some of those things regarding faith are invisible things. There are some things that you and I understand that work in the realm of faith that are tangible things. We have faith that the moon is going to rise tonight, and it is going to be huge tonight, full moon tonight. You don't think about it. You don't ponder that. You don't worry about it. You trust in the laws of astrophysics that the moon will rise tonight, and of that you have no doubt. That is having faith in a system, and listen, it is a mechanical, physical system that you and I are so common in relating to that we don't even doubt if the moon's going to rise tonight. And that is, in a sense, is having faith, that substance of things not seen. You don't see the mechanics that's moving at all, but you see the evidence of the mechanics at work, and the moon will appear in the sky this evening after service. The Bible tells us again in 2 Corinthians 4:18, 2 Corinthians 4:18, we're laying our foundation. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary or temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. Isn't that an amazing truth? Now look, you might say, I don't agree with that. What do you mean? Well, watch this. If you fix your eyes on the things that are seen, the Bible is telling you that's okay, but just know this. If you anchor your existence and life's answers to what you can see, just understand this. What is physical is going to be going away in the not too distant future. All things that are physical dissolve. Remember we touched on it last week? We talked about the second law of thermodynamics, entropy, where everything that is material is falling apart. Everything that is what I would say metallic, I shouldn't say metallic, that's metal, but everything that would be material, even if it's flesh, is falling apart. All things physical of this world. The Bible says, imagine this, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, the Bible says the things that are really lasting forever are the things that you can't see. And there are hints about this even in nature, and nature is itself limited because it's physical. But did you realize the air molecules in this room that fill this room that you're breathing and exhaling and all, that you pass your hand through right now? You know, it's interesting. I just realized, just as I move my hand, I can feel. Oh, you can do this if you want, but don't hit anybody in the face. But I can feel the molecules. I can't see them, but if I move my hand, I can feel the resistance in the air right now. Have you ever been outside driving in the car and you got your hand outside and you're just flying, you're flying your hand through the what? Through the molecules. How do you know they're molecules? How do you even know they're out there? Did you see them? You don't see them. But yet you're so common to experiencing them that you say, well, they're there. And you become accustomed to them. And that's a good thing. The Bible tells us that faith ought to be that natural to us. And I'm going to say something that might ruffle some feathers, but I got to tell you, I think faith is that natural to us until we either ruin it in somebody's life or in our own lives, and we begin to pollute our minds. For example, you can tell a little child anything and they will believe it. And that's a dangerous thing because somebody could abuse a child in their thinking. They could tell them lies. But a child is believing. A child is open. A child is honest. A child, if you tell them, you know what? They're good with it. They think, listen, mom, dad, they think you are rock star action figures. Little kids, they love their parents. It's just the way that they're wired. And I think that if we pour into our children rightly, they will continue to grow up with a strong view in reality. I think the greatest things that exist are things that we cannot see. You cannot see actual love, but you got to act love out, don't you? Love is something that is internal. It's something that is ethereal. It's something that is of the consciousness. And yet you'll never know if somebody loves you unless they express it. And when it's brought out of the metaphysical or out of the area of spirit and made to touch, then you don't know. So in life, we traffic in and out all the time, exercising faith. Even if we're atheists, it's still true. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "For we walk," the word is journey, move, live, "we walk by faith and not by sight." And that's an amazing thing. You could think on that for a while. That everything that you and I do in life, in movement and in action, is all about hope. You get up in the morning and you go to work in hope. You get up, you go to school, you go in hope. It's not just the physical world that's around you. So we're going to be talking tonight about the controversy, if you would, of faith. Faith. What is faith? And what I'd like you to look at is what Peter Singer has to say about it. We'll put the quote up on the screens tonight. Peter Singer, what is faith? If you believe something because you have evidence for it or rational argument, that is not faith. So faith seems to be believing something despite the absence of evidence or rational argument for it. Did you hear what he's saying? He's saying that if you believe in something and it's got evidence, then you don't need faith because the evidence overrules faith. There's no need for faith if something is able to be proved or something that has evidence. You don't need faith. So in other words, evidence and faith are mutually exclusive. And yet the Bible just said the exact opposite. So this is a very big and famous thinker who, as a man who boasts of himself as being a man of logic and reason, a man of argumentation, and a man says that I believe what I have evidence for. And by the way, in the context of that statement, if you were to read it in detail, he's talking about how ridiculous it is for people to believe in God. That's silly. You don't need that because there's no evidence for God, so faith in God is ridiculous. But don't worry about Peter Singer. His faith is very well intact. Look at the next image here, or slide, or magazine cover. Do aliens have inalienable rights? Peter Singer believes in aliens, and he's very committed to them. And I'd like to know, has he ever met one? Has he ever talked to one? And maybe he'd say yes, I don't know. But he puts down your faith, but he's got great faith in not only aliens, but should aliens have rights if we ever meet up with one. So you don't have to worry about his faith. He's got faith. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that this faith, now watch this, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Bible uses the word in the ancient Greek language, hypostasis, for substance, and it means the supporting structure. Watch this, everybody. Regarding faith, the Bible says it's the supporting structure. It's the basis, a foundation, a pillar. It's the confidence. Watch this. That Greek word means reality and existence. So let me read it again. Now, faith is the structure, the basis, the foundation, the pillar, the confidence, the reality. So all of a sudden, if we're just going to entertain this argument, there's more to faith than what you and I think. You heard Richard Dawkins in the video. He does not understand what the Bible says about faith. If you've never picked up a Bible, if you've never pondered the nature of God, then you agree tonight with Richard Dawkins. I'm not faulting you, and I'm not faulting Dawkins exactly. Church, you know who one of his friends down the hallway from his office is in Oxford, England? You met him here. Dr. John Lennox. John Lennox and Dawkins are good friends. They just debate each other all around the world. They have completely different views. Both of them are chairs at Oxford University. One is an atheist and a genius and denies the existence of God. The other one is a believer and a genius of mathematics and believes in the existence of God. What does that tell you? It's not intellectual. The argument is not intellectual. The argument is one of spiritual responsibility or moral responsibility. If tonight you claim to be an unbeliever, there's a high probability is that your unbelief garners and protects and bolsters your lifestyle. Because it's inconvenient to have a God or gods involved in your life. The Bible goes on to tell us in Hebrews 11, 1, that it's the evidence of things not seen. That word in the Greek language is proof, evidence, proof, the confirmation, the conviction, the assurance. So what substance is there to your faith tonight, whoever we may be? Each and every one of us tonight, I'd ask you that question. Your faith substance. If you're an atheist tonight, listen, you have faith in arguments that back up your atheism. What are they? What are those claims? Is it Darwinianism? Is it, you'd say, is it biology or is it chemistry? Here's my, I love you, but let me throw this out to you. If you go to science to back up your atheistic view, I would really like to talk to you because science is an ordered law. The study of the sciences are very highly organized studies in the observable universe. And so if you say, I'm an atheist, I'm going to argue with you tonight that there's a morality to your decision, not science. It's very important. Also this, what evidence is there regarding your faith claim? How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hands. You should be able to produce evidence for your faith claim, right? If somebody asks you tonight, why are you a Christian? You ought to be able to have an answer. And you can't give a, listen, with the world I agree with, I agree with the world on this. It is wrong for us to say, because I just feel it in my heart. I just feel this thing, you know? No, that's not an answer. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say that we are believers because of what we feel. It's not based on feeling. Our faith as believers is founded upon fact, and we'll look at just a few of those things tonight. But by definition, the biblical faith, I'm going to give you a word tonight. It's an old English word. Are you ready to write it down? Nobody uses it anymore. It's a great word. I try to use it. The biblical definition for faith would be one that is prescient. You ever heard that word? It's a great word. Prescient means that God's definition of faith by nature is prescient, which means that faith looks to God because God knows the things that are coming. God knows the things beforehand. Biblical faith knows of things before they happen. Thus, the Bible and only the Bible is a prophetic book. The Bible has the prophets, the great prophets of the Hebrew Bible. And what is that important for regarding our argument? The prophets spoke of something in advance. They wrote it down and people waited for hundreds or thousands of years and it was fulfilled exactly as it was foretold. God is prescient. And so faith in the Bible, the biblical definition of faith, presupposes or assumes that there's a prescient or futuristic look as God knows all things. It's very, very important that we look at this and that we consider this. So tonight as we look, number one, watch this. If you've ever gotten out of bed, you did that by faith. No matter what your worldview is, you got out of bed because what? Let's be honest. You got out of bed because you had appointments, did you? You acted in faith. Again, I said earlier, but if you ever went to school, if you ever got up and went to school, why did you do that? Because listen, in a sense, you have faith in a system, faith in yourself. This is good. And you're going to invest in something because you expect to get something out of it. In that sense, it's a prescient action. It's a futurist action. You are moving with hope. Why are you here tonight? Why do you pay your bills? Why do you go to work? Why do you study? Why do you read anything? Why do you care about anything? Because you have hope. When people don't have hope, they don't do any of those things. And I would say to you tonight, that even if you're an atheist, you have a realm of faith to you. If you've ever applied for a job, you did it in faith. If you ever voted in an election, you did it in faith. If you've ever taken a trip, you've done it in faith. Think of it. We do it all the time. We exercise faith. So we can do it. I'm a man of reason. Someone might say, I'm a man of intellect and honesty, and I don't exercise faith. But you do. You do. Every time you put your key in the car, every time you leave your home, you're planning on coming back that night. You're exercising faith. So you do have it within you. That's important foundation. So number one, church, we're going to run through these things. Number one, we're going to be asking this question, evidence for faith. Why does faith exist universally? We touched on it last week. Question goes out to you tonight. Why is faith experienced universally around the world? There's a transcendency to faith over education, over culture, wealth, status, ethnicity, all around the world. Doesn't matter. You can be highly educated in Geneva, Switzerland tonight and have faith in God, and you can be running around the jungles of South America having faith in God. Why is that? The existence of faith. Because according to the Bible, I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm just saying according to the Bible says that God has placed that ability inside every human heart and mind to ponder, to think. Number two, why does faith require an object? This is important. We can all agree that universally on every continent and every culture of the world, faith has been active since the recording of time. Faith. And if you were not here last week, I answered a statement where someone had thought or mentioned or said, what about socialism or a communist nation where there is no God that is taught? Yeah, there is. There's always a God. Stalin was a God to the Russian people, right? He saw to it. Marx, Mao, Pol Pot, dictators, they're gods. The Kim dynasty, they're gods. They are viewed by the people as gods. Everyone's got a god. I'm thinking about that. I won't sing it, but do you remember I sang it a couple months ago. Do you remember that song by Bob Dylan? You got to serve somebody? It's true. Don't tempt me now. I won't do it. No, it's okay, really. No. But listen, faith requires an object. Have you ever thought about that? It has to have an object. Whatever you say tonight, well, I have faith in, so what? So I don't believe in God, but I believe in happenstance. So a happenstance? What's that? Yeah, you know, the horoscope kind of stuff. I get up in the morning, look at the horoscope. Translation, if you don't know. I get up and I look at the zodiac horoscope, which is ancient Babylonianism that is condemned in the Bible. I get up every morning and I search and search and search what the ancient Babylonians did regarding their 360 gods to find out what I should do today. Why do you do that? You do it in faith, you do it with hope, and you do it for guidance.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Evidence for Faith. Thanks for being with us today. The Evidence for Faith is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series. It's a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which of course is our amazing roadmap towards meaning and purpose. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, if fear has taken over your faith for some reason, or you're overwhelmed by your situation and you're feeling abandoned and alone, God may seem far away, but you know what? Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible tells us to pray, especially when we're in distress, and God is more than able to help. He really is. Like Pastor Jack said, He's a personal God, and He wants you to get to know Him on a very personal level. But if you're not sure what that means or even how to be saved, we get that, and we're here to help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab there labeled Know God. Now that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you will discover the answers that you've been searching for. God loves you. You're not here by accident. That's the truth. And, by the way, you're not alone. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab labeled Know God. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.